Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Davis steps under center. Gibson and McClendon behind him. Davis with motion by Richard. Will get the ball to McClendon. He leaps. Oh, he doesn't get in. He fumbled the football. Carolina holds. The game is over. And Carolina has won the game.
Finley to throw. Over the middle, intercepted. Wolfolk again. Wolfolk the other way. At the 30, the 40. Wolfolk to midfield. Miles Wolfolk with the pick. The heels on the doorstep of an enormous victory.
Left side of the line. Hood standing to Williams to his right. Williams gonna throw. One-on-one. Davis has it. Touchdown. Carolina wins. Carolina is the Coastal Division champion. Bernard fields it at the 26. Heading to the far side. Gio at the 35. Gio, he's at the 50. No, he's not. Yes, he is. Gio, he's going to take it for a touchdown. Are you kidding me?
Connor Barth for the possible win. Snap, spot, kick away, high enough, long enough. It's good! It's good! Carolina has won the game on a 42-yard field goal by freshman Connor Barth. Good gosh, dirty!
This is the Heel Tough Blog Podcast.
What's going on, guys? It's another edition of the Heel Tough Blog Podcast coming at you here on a Sunday night as we get ready to recap Carolina's spring game. We'll also tell you about all of the moves that Carolina has made roster-wise, adding four guys to the roster, three for future years, one guy for this upcoming season that we will tell you all about here on this edition of the podcast. Now, we're not going to go in-depth on the recruiting stuff, so all the guys that Carolina did land, we're going to spend a little bit more time. I will go in depth on the transfer that Carolina landed today. But everything else I will hold off on. We'll have a recruiting edition of the podcast where we'll sort of break down the three guys that Carolina has landed in the last few days. But the biggest thing that we're here to talk about is the Tar Heel spring game. And if you guys saw, did have instant reaction to the spring game, that video that I put up, this will be just a little more extensive version of what I did after the game yesterday, sort of breaking down, going through each position group and telling you what I thought of what I saw out there. I know most of you guys, unfortunately, weren't able to make it out to Keenan Stadium, but definitely, you know, a good look at this year's Tar Heel team. And just, you know, some overall takeaways right out of the gate, I think, you know, as we'll jump into it. I think this is a team that, you know, coming in, I know that there are a lot of people that have tried to, as the offseason has gone along, generate bigger expectations for this group. And I think what this group showed you on Saturday is that this is a group that we still honestly don't really know a whole lot about at all. You know, the group that was out there, the group of starters that you saw out there, I mean, there's a significant group of guys that did not play, especially on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, you're talking about really the top weapons on this team pretty much being completely out of commission. The only one that played of the guys that you would expect to play extensive snaps at both wide receiver and tight end was Nate McCollum. That's it. Everybody else was out. So it was an opportunity to get a look at some of the younger guys there. The good news is that those guys on the offensive of the side of the ball really shined. The guys on the defensive side of the ball, a little bit of a different story, but there were some guys that were out that has to be mentioned. And that's something that I think will be a talking point, but I think it's very clear, at least from what you saw on Saturday, and maybe it was just one time out, but if you're going off of what we saw on Saturday, it's pretty clear to me that Carolina, right now, their offense is ahead of the defense. And, you know, to be honest, I guess it shouldn't be too shocking. You do have a new coach that's in there, but I will say that there are a lot of veteran players on the offensive side of the ball. Some of the depth guys, there's some youth, that's for sure. But some of the guys that you really wanted to see step up on the defensive side of the ball, especially with so many young guys playing yesterday, they just really didn't do that. And so I think that's something that you have to monitor going forward. I think it's also, Mack Brown has really raved about what he has seen from this defense here in the spring. And I don't know, maybe it's that Mack Brown just isn't wanting to let on the fact that it is taking some time. That did not look like a group that was well ahead of what you would expect a team to be at this point of the offseason. It looked like a team that still got work to do, that's still learning a system, and some guys that are still making adjustments. And it also looks a lot like what we've seen the last few years, especially from the guys on the interior of the defensive line. And, let's start on the defensive side of the ball. I started offensive side of the ball yesterday, but let's go with the defense. And, here's the thing. I saw some people that were at the game yesterday that really thought that the defense had some moments where they looked really good. I think there were certain moments where Carolina's defense was really able to control things that were going on, but it was rare. There were a couple of drives early in the game where Carolina's defense was just knocked back and couldn't find a way to get off the field. And that was the number one defense that struggled at times. And I think a big part of it is we thought that the interior of this defensive line was going to be better. We thought that guys like Jabari Ritzy and Travis Shaw had taken steps forward from what Mack Brown had told us. And that doesn't really seem to be the case. Now, again, this is just the spring game. You're going up against guys that are very familiar with you. And especially if you've been getting the best of them this entire spring, maybe there was a little bit of extra motivation and those guys showed out on the interior of the offensive line. But this was a group that you were hoping would show you flashes because of what Mack Brown had said. And you just never really saw it from those guys throughout the day. There was never a point where you looked at the interior of the defensive line, in terms of the main guys, and said, okay, this is a group that's really standing out. Now, I will say this. I thought one guy that played really, really well on the interior of the defensive line, and now he spent most of his time against the backups and, even some of the third stringers. I thought Rodney Laura, the second-year defensive tackle, I thought he looked fantastic. I think he did some really good things on the inside. And look, here's the thing is maybe that's a guy that just took advantage of playing against some of the lesser guys on this roster. But I think there's a legitimate chance that, if he continues to show some of those things and if he's been showing the staff some of that in the spring, and Carolina's probably got to give him a look at some point and allow him to potentially take some reps on the interior of that defensive line. Because as long as those other guys have been there and, we've seen moments where they've been solid, you need to have a legitimate interior offensive line this year if you're going to take any steps forward and be a defense that can be trusted as the season goes along. Last year, I thought that unit on the interior, they had some moments early in the season, and maybe there is potential for that to happen again this year. But if this team wants to be able to slow down the run, and it showed again on Saturday that when the interior of that defensive line was getting pushed back, there were huge gaps in the middle of that defense, because then the offensive line is able to climb to the second level. They're able to get hats on those linebackers, and then it puts a lot of pressure on that secondary group to make tackles on the back end. So that's a group that I think has to improve. The edge rushers, I mean, I thought there were moments for guys like Dez Evans and Bo Atkinson early in the day. I think that, that they made a couple of nice plays. I know Dez Evans, a couple of good pass rushing moves to free himself up and get pressure on the quarterback a couple of times. You saw a really good rep from Bo Atkinson in run defense, where he dropped the running back in the backfield for a significant loss. But outside of that, no one else really stood out to me in that first unit, the guys that were rotating in with that first unit. Now, I will say, when you got to the second unit, guy like Malachi Hamrick, he had himself a really good day. And that's a guy that I think is worth keeping an eye on. Third year with this with the team. I know it's his first year in this new system, but maybe this is one that really works well to his strengths. And I think he's a guy that, especially if we do see Cameron Rucker take a little bit of time to come back from his injury, that's a guy that probably benefits a lot and could be seeing some significant reps with the first team, because I definitely think that he's a guy that showed you on Saturday that he is capable of being part of the rotation. And maybe even if Carolina does get Cameron Rucker back, and if they do want to use Bo Atkinson over there some during the season, he could be that guy that also helps to provide, you know, a third in that room. Or, I mean, if he does enough, I think in the fall, he could be that backup to Cameron Rucker that can rotate in and give Rucker a little bit of a break, something that he didn't have last year and that showed as the year went along. When you move to the linebacking core, you know, I think this group, they were good. They had flashes where they looked good. Power Eccles is clearly the leader of that group now, and I think he had a pretty solid day for himself. Amari Campbell was not bad. I think he's a guy that, right now has really solidified himself as the starter next to Power Eccles, but I don't know if he's going to be nearly as impactful as Power Eccles was in that secondary starter role as he was a year ago. For Power Eccles, I don't know. He wasn't nearly as present as a guy like Cedric Gray was, and that's the thing that Carolina, I think, is really going to miss. And that's why it's so important for this interior defensive line and for those edge rushers to be able to seal the edge as well. But you have to get push up front in the run game, because you're not going to have a linebacker that can cover sideline to sideline at the same level that Gray did. Don't get it wrong. Power Eccles can cover sideline to sideline, but Eccles just has not been the same tackling machine that Gray has, at least to this point. And maybe he turns out to be that. But you didn't see nearly that same type of presence that we'd seen from Cedric Gray, from Power Eccles on Saturday. The thing that was very evident was that the drop-off behind those two guys is significant. And Mack Brown has kind of hinted at this. He said that he's looking. There's a group of young guys that are looking to be the depth guys there. But, look, I thought last year one of the biggest mistakes that Carolina made was not playing Amari Campbell more, because I thought that he showed that he was capable of being out there, and still the level of play that you were getting from the defense would be relatively similar than what you would get from a tired Power Eccles or even a tired Cedric Gray at times. So I thought last year Carolina could have had a legitimate rotation there. As we sit here right now, unless Carolina goes into the transfer portal, I don't think that there is a legitimate rotation. I think that there are concerns about the rest of the group. No one really stood out. I know Kay Law, the walk-on, the brother of Cruz Law, who will join the team in the fall, he was the guy that I saw the most out there. So clearly the staff has liked what they have seen from him. Now, that was a group that was missing a few guys, but still, I think – you're looking for someone to step up there, a guy like Michael Short, the second-year linebacker, Caleb Lavallee, another second-year guy. You're looking for one of those types of guys, or even some of the freshmen, to step in and make an impact. But I don't know if that's there right now, and we'll have to revisit that when we get to the fall. But that's probably going to be one of the biggest concerns for Carolina, is that they're going to have to run Power Eccles and Amari Campbell into the ground the same way that they have had to with their linebackers in the last few years. I think if there's a unit that's capable of handling that, it's probably that linebacker group. Even though they struggled a little bit last year and things became a little sloppy because of how worn out guys were getting, it's definitely a unit that this is not going to be foreign to them. So those guys are going to be willing to play that type of role. But you're hoping that as we go into the fall, maybe – some of these guys are able to take that leap that you were hoping that they would here in the spring. You move to the defensive backs. I think the starters were really, really good for the most part. I thought Elijah Huzzy, you didn't see him thrown at really the entire day. In the middle of the field when Carolina allowed first downs, a lot of it was because linebackers – weren't dropping into the areas that they needed to. It wasn't really on the safeties. So, again, wasn't full contact for guys like Jakeen Harris and Will Hardy. But, still, I thought you saw some decent things from that group as a whole. I thought the safeties were really, really solid, especially Stick Lane, who I think looked really good, played a lot of snaps again, as he's going to do. Played a ton of them towards the end of last season, and he's going to do the same exact thing again this year. And then, I think there were moments early. I mean, I know Paul Billups made a really nice catch along the sideline in front of Tyrann Stewart. I thought he looked pretty good, especially for a guy that was playing his first real significant snaps in that role that he was in. Now, again, Marcus Allen is going to come back, so Stewart is not going to be a guy that's going to have to start for you out there. But I do think that he's a guy that showed you that he's capable of doing some really good things. Other guys that stood out to me in the secondary, I think the one guy that stood out in a positive way was Trey Miller. I thought he looked really good out of the star position. I think he did a great job. A couple of big hits, made a couple of nice plays in the run game. I think he's a guy that's coming along in that nickel spot. And that's an area, DeAndre Boykins was out there, didn't really catch my attention. And so that'll be interesting. Remember that 2 years ago, missed all of last year with a lower body injury. But 2 years ago, I mean, he was one of the worst nickel corners in the entire country in terms of yards allowed. One of the worst secondary members in the entire country in terms of yards allowed. And so I think for Carolina, they have to be open to other guys stepping up there. Caleb Cost is a guy who's kind of been on and off the field because he's been playing with the baseball team. Like, he wasn't out there yesterday because he was on the road trip with the baseball team. So opportunity is there for some of these guys to step up. Ty White, the true freshman, is another guy who has an opportunity there, but Trey Miller was the guy that really stood out to me. Now, some of the guys that struggled, it was really a lot of the younger guys, the true freshmen that are, you just look at how many guys are out there, they're probably going to be playing big roles for Carolina, or at least rotational roles for Carolina, especially if injuries start to add up like we've seen for this unit in years past. The good news for Carolina a year ago was that their corners stayed relatively healthy. And that was the first time in a long time that they have been able to do that. This year, you would wonder if Carolina sort of regresses to the mean. So some of these guys are going to have to be ready. But I thought, Khalil Conley really struggled at times. Definitely a guy that's a work in progress, especially since at the high school level, he was a guy that was playing safety and also would come down into the box and play linebacker, and also had, some stints where he played a little bit in the nickel, never really played exclusively on the outside, which is where he's playing right now. Jaden Patterson, also a guy, in high school, he did play on the outside, but yesterday gets beat badly across his face by Nate McCollum. And look, man, Nate McCollum's a veteran, but then he ends up missing a tackle. It leads to a touchdown. So still, some work for him to do. He had a couple other moments throughout the day where you could tell that he looked like a freshman. And I think you saw, some of the other guys as well. They didn't shine the way that I think some people might have thought they would going in. What I think it shows is that, look, these guys still have a lot of potential. The thing is that these guys are incredibly young, and that's secondary. Yeah, there are some guys you really like in that secondary. There's no doubt about it. And I think that's a unit that can be really solid. But the young guys, they're going to have to be the guys that provide depth there. And if there are a few injuries, this could be something that could be concerning for Carolina as the season goes along. Because the thing with the defense was, I thought most of the day, they were pushed around up front. I thought that the offensive line really controlled the trenches. And then, I thought one of the other things that really stood out was the amount of big plays that Carolina allowed. And that really goes back to that secondary. And that's something I get that there's going to be more aggression from Jeff Collins. And that was, a lot of it wasn't the first team unit. And if there were members of the first team unit out there, it wasn't the complete first team unit. But it's going to be interesting to see. One of the things they want to continue to do is limit those big plays down the field. And if Saturday was an indication of what could possibly be coming, that's still an area that Carolina has to work on, especially with their second team guys and further down the depth chart. You move over to the offensive side of the ball, and everybody, the thing that everybody's going to want to talk about here is the quarterbacks. And why wouldn't you? I definitely think that this was a battle that coming in, I think a lot of people were kind of skeptical. You know, you listen to what Mac Brown had said about this quarterback battle. And I know that he said the other day, look, this is a legitimate quarterback battle between Max Johnson and Connor Harrell. But the way that he had talked about Max Johnson, it really felt like the staff felt really good about him and what they had seen from him so far. And it also felt like from some of the reports of others that have been out to spring practice when it was open to the media, that Max Johnson was the guy that was ahead. Connor Harrell was the guy that was playing from behind, but that he was starting to come on. I think after Saturday, there is no question that this is a legitimate quarterback battle and that Connor Harrell has a really good chance to win this job. Now, the thing is that Max Johnson did not play bad. Didn't turn the ball over. I thought was able to move the sticks at times. But the thing that you saw from him that concerned me just a little bit was the fact that he never once pushed the ball down the field. Not a single time. And I get it. There were times where you were just taking what was in front of you. And I think that he did a really good job of finding that short and intermediate passing game and hitting just about everything that he could that was available to him. When the options were there. But the thing to me is that this is an offense that still, I think, needs to be explosive in order to score points. Now, you want to be strategic about it. And the other thing to remember is that this is probably going to be a more run-oriented offense than in years past. You didn't see this team run the football a whole lot. I mean, Amarian Hampton wasn't in there really much at all. You saw him early, and then he came off the field, and you never really saw him again because Carolina wanted to get a look at the rest of the running backs. They also probably want to conserve a weapon that they know is going to be ready to go when the season rolls around. I mean, Mac Brown has talked about this, that guys like that, guys like Power Eccles. I mean, that was one of the things. You didn't see Power Eccles a ton in the game yesterday because I think these are guys that are known commodities. You want to protect those guys. We know what they are, and we want to get reps for some of the younger guys. And so I think that's what Carolina did, and that's part of the reason why you didn't see them run the ball as much. And they also wanted to get a real look at what these quarterbacks could do. The offense may certainly look a little bit different, but I think the thing that you want to see from Max Johnson, or here at least coming from the staff, is that he is starting to push the ball downfield a little bit. Carolina's going to have some explosive playmakers on the offensive side of the football. And there were a few guys that weren't out there that certainly could have helped. Chris Culliver, that was a guy that you would have loved to be able to see. Really sucks for him that he wasn't able to get out there because with all the other guys that are out, all the other starters that are out, this is a guy that you really thought would be able to make an impression, especially from what we had heard he had been doing in the spring. And so not to be able to see him out there, I think that would have been a weapon that maybe Max Johnson could have pushed the ball downfield to. But the thing is that when you watched his counterpart, man, Connor Harrell was pushing that ball down the field like we've seen from Sam Howell and Drake May. He made a couple of really nice throws over the top. One, the first touchdown of the game to Vari Green, the true freshman slot receiver who just did a great job of beating Michael Short, the linebacker, over the top. And it was a perfectly thrown ball as a safety was coming over the top. A perfectly thrown ball. Green hauls it in and takes it into the end zone. And then Connor Harrell hits Nate McCollum on the slant route. Told you earlier, Jaden Patterson gets beat across his face by McCollum. McCollum then takes it to the house. That's one where you just have to get the ball out quick. But the thing that I liked about both of those plays from him, especially the one to Vari Green, was it was just a perfect throw in stride to his receiver. And then, he had another one down the field. He missed this one to Paul Billups. But he had another one later on in the scrimmage where Billups gets free down the field. He puts it in a pretty good spot. Billups, I think, kind of just lost where he was at on the field, trying to track the ball, and sort of stumbles over his own 2 feet. But it was a pretty good throw. And that's the thing that we've heard about Connor Harrell, is that the arm strength is there, the deep accuracy is there. And you also saw, I mean, there was a play that was called down. Mac, you know, credited as a sack. That's how they were doing it in terms of getting near the quarterback and calling a play dead. But you saw the mobility that Connor Harrell had, where Max Johnson, I mean, he didn't have many opportunities to take off and run. I don't think they really wanted the guys to do that. But there was one time out in space, he just kind of slipped and fell. And that happens. But I think it's very clear that Connor Harrell is the guy that will bring more to the running game if he is in there. So I think Connor Harrell was the better of the two guys. I think he made a strong pitch that he is in this race and will be in it until the end. And I truly believe that, you know, as skeptical as I was, I believe that this is a true race right now for this starting quarterback job. Now, Mac Brown has talked about it. The summer is a really important time for quarterback battles like this, because you go into the player-led practices. They'll be working a lot with the wide receivers and some of the other guys, and they'll do all, you know, the same things, these 11-on-11s, these 7-on-7s, all this kind of stuff as they work out throughout the summer. And when they come back, there will be a sit-down with just about every guy on the roster. And Mac Brown said he will ask these guys, what do you think? Where do things stand right now with these quarterbacks? And I think that, you know, they go into the summer really even. We'll see how they exit the summer. We probably won't hear a ton about it until it gets later on, because I think this is one that's definitely going to drag out, especially if the other ones did with Sam Howell and Drake May, both guys who, as Mac Brown sort of told us at the start of spring camp, you know, they were guys that had it wrapped up a lot earlier than he sort of let on. I think this one could be one that legitimately goes pretty late, because I think both guys have probably had their moments, but what a punctuation point that was on his spring for Connor Harrell. And it definitely has a lot of people thinking that he should be the quarterback. I think that's probably rushing it a little bit, because look, the thing is I do believe that Max Johnson has had moments where he has looked better than Connor Harrell. There have definitely probably been practices where Max Johnson has been the better of the two. But at the same time, that was a really strong statement from Harrell to close out the spring. And the biggest thing is, any concerns about him transferring or Max Johnson potentially re-entering the transfer portal because this wasn't a legitimate battle, those are out the window. And by the way, the third-string quarterback for Carolina, Michael Merdinger, the true freshman, he looked pretty freaking good as well. There is no doubt about that. I think he's a guy that probably – I said it when I watched his highlight tape. I thought there was a real chance that this was a guy that at some point had a chance to be a really good quarterback. I thought he was being undervalued. I thought when he went to some of these camps that people would get a look at him and really like him. We heard during, you know, early in the camp cycle that – you know, last off season that was that he was shining, that he was doing some good things, and that people were expecting him to rise. He still stayed outside of the top 1,000. But if you watched him yesterday, that does not look like a quarterback that's outside the top 1,000. And you can see why he's a guy that is already that already beat out Tad Hudson for the backup job and is in a good spot and would be a guy that, look, man, if Carolina for some reason ended up having to go to him at some point, I think they would be in decent enough shape, because I think there are some tools there already that can be worked with. Let's move to the skill positions offensively. And look, I think, you know, there wasn't a ton that you could take away from it. As I mentioned, you go to the running backs, and with the running backs, you didn't see Amarian Hampton. You know, he was there early, caught two passes early, ran the football. I mean, first three plays of the scrimmage went to him, and I think that's going to show you how involved he's going to be. But after that, you kind of saw him sparingly. Carolina used him a little bit, a couple other drives, but after that, he was on the sidelines and Carolina was focused on using the other guys. I will say that I think there could be a legitimate battle for the backup role. And I know that the veteran presence of Darwin Barlow will loom large because Carolina needs somebody like that in the backfield. But I mean, Davian Gauss looked really good. And I think this is what we saw from him in high school. People sort of questioned it a little bit because he lost some reps as he progressed throughout his time. And this past year, it became an offense at Chaminade Madonna Prep that really wanted to throw the ball. And so he didn't carry the ball as much as he did in previous years. But, man, this dude looks really good. I thought he, you know, especially when the holes were opened up for him, he did a great job of hitting him and getting upfield. And he's a guy that I think brings a little bit of power behind him. You got to see that on display a couple of times. So this is a really, really solid player in that backfield. And a guy that I think, you know, because he had as many reps as he did in the spring, he's going to get an opportunity again in the fall probably to show the staff that he deserves to be at least the number three running back on this depth chart, if not potentially compete for that number two spot. Now, the thing is that behind those guys, it becomes really, really thin really quick. And that is the reason why when Mac Brown said the other day that they needed help in that running back room, I think some of us kind of thought, well, you know, Jordan Louis is going to be back at some point. And you really like some of the things that you saw from him dating back to high school. He's been with the team for a year. Also, you got Caleb Hood there. Now, the thing with Caleb Hood at this point, I think what the staff is kind of showing you is that, look, if Caleb Hood can be healthy and if he can get in there, that's great. But at this point, they can't keep holding their breath that he's going to find a way to stay healthy and can be a contributor in that backfield. It's just it's not feasible at this point because you're talking about a guy that just has not been able to stay on the field his entire career. Anytime that he sort of starts to build momentum, he has a stretch where he finds a way to stay even remotely healthy. Then something else happens and he missed, you know, a majority of spring camp with a hamstring injury. Not sure when he's going to be able to potentially get back out there for Carolina. And it also makes you wonder if this injury to Jordan Louis isn't a little more serious as well. But, you know, the drop off after the three guys that I just talked about, you're then talking about two converted defensive backs, one, a guy that was in the transfer portal looking to go somewhere else, ends up pulling his name out of the transfer portal and staying at Carolina because they basically said, look, we need you. That's Major Byrd. He converted from safety. Now as a running back, he would be Carolina's fourth running back right now. And don't get it wrong. I thought he looked pretty good in the reps that he took. It looked very natural at times carrying the ball. Looks like he could do that for Carolina if they really got in a pinch. But you also had to have Jaden Selby convert as a walk-on defensive back that now is taking snaps at running back. So that'll be interesting. I think Carolina, we've already seen him host Simeon Price, a guy that is a transfer from Mississippi State. They've already offered Panay Boone, a guy that transferred from Louisville after spending his first part of his career at Toledo. So this is a group that I think Carolina really wants to add another body to in the transfer portal. And I think this staff's going to continue to be aggressive in doing so, especially after how thin this group looked when they were out there on Saturday. Well, move to the wide receiving core. And again, a lot of guys out. So really tough to tell, you know, what this group will look like when they head into the fall. But I will say this. I do think that some of these young guys, they're not going to just go away. Christian Hamilton, Paul Billups get the starts on the outside. And I thought Paul Billups looked really good. I thought he had a couple of really nice moments, a catch along the sidelines where he's able to, you know, control his body, get both feet inbounds, and does a great job of hauling in the catch that was out away from his body a little bit. Then on his touchdown grab, does a great job of high pointing the football and then shedding a tackler and going into the end zone. So a lot of really encouraging things from him. He's also a guy that's proven he can be a deep threat. He had a couple of moments where he's able to get downfield, get a step on the corner, but one was overthrown, and then the other one, you know, he sort of loses his balance and falls. That's something that, you know, you want to see progress as he moves forward. You don't want to see those types of stumbles from him if he's going to play a big role for Carolina. But I do think that you saw a lot of intangibles there for him that we knew was present for him. And now with an opportunity, he's starting to show that. Christian Hamilton got one target thrown his way, didn't create the type of separation that I thought he was going to be able to. And then, you know, I think one of the things that really sucked for that group of receivers, that trio of second-year guys, was Chris Culliver not being able to be out there. As I said, a big play threat down the field, a guy that had really shined, had made some spectacular catches. It seems like every time the media goes out, he's doing something that really catches their eye. And unfortunately, we didn't get to see him. But the guy that benefited the most from that, and a guy that I think, if he keeps playing the way that he's playing, it's going to be hard not to try to find him rep somewhere, is Jordan Shipp. He did a really good job. His touchdown grab does a tremendous job of high-pointing the football, bringing it down, and you know, doing what we saw him do throughout high school. And then, you know, even along the sidelines, you know, had a couple of really nice catches out there as well. Did a great job of creating separation and really became a guy that you saw for multiple quarterbacks. Max Johnson hit him a couple of times. You also saw Michael Mertinger find him a few times. Really became a guy that was sort of, a number one option, a comfort receiver that they could go to. And when you can become that go-to receiver, I do think that that really shows that you're making an impact. Guys trust you, and he's building that already as a true freshman. I mentioned earlier the big play by Bari Green. He had another catch in the game as well. I thought he looked pretty good, especially for a guy that, you know, knows he's probably going to be buried on the depth chart behind at least Nate McCollum and potentially even Kobe Pesor. The staff has to figure out where exactly they're going to play Pesor. It's going to be a little bit tougher with him not having participated in spring camp, along with the other guys as well. So when they come back in the fall, you know, the staff's going to have to really sit down and try to figure out where exactly they want to play these guys, going into this season. Are they going to try to find a way to put two slot receivers on the field at the same time, play a lot of four wide receiver sets, or because of the way that they are going to want to run the football, are they going to have to find a way to try to move Kobe Pesor to the outside and make him an outside receiver? We've seen them try it before. And the results were solid, not great. He wasn't nearly as impactful as he was in the slot, but it's something the staff's going to have to decide. But Bari Green's a guy that, even though he might be buried a little bit on that depth chart, I think he's a guy that is showing he's going to make plays whenever his opportunity rolls around. Alex Taylor, the other true freshman wide receiver, pretty silent on the day, but when you got so many different options that were really shining, it feels like it was tough for him to really stand out. Move on to the tight end group. And I mean, look, again, you can't take a whole lot away from this. You're talking about your top two tight ends, maybe the best tight end duo in the entire conference, one of the best in the entire country, in John Copenhaver and Bryson Nesmith not playing. Jake Johnson wasn't out there a ton at all. Basically, I think that's a move to try to conserve him after, you know, he clearly got banged up towards the end of spring practice, wasn't out there for Carolina's all-access practice. Although he was active yesterday, you didn't really see a ton of him. So it was a lot of Deems May the third, a lot of the true freshman Ryan Ward, and also a lot of Colt Halsley, who I thought looked pretty good. I thought he did a great job out there, especially when he was on. I mean, a couple of times Max Johnson was on with some of those second and third team members and was able to find him. He was a good safety valve for a few different quarterbacks out there and really made some nice plays. So definitely a guy that, I mean, look, he's buried on that depth chart, probably won't see him much, but that was really cool to see him stand out. And as for the other guys, I mean, look, Deems May, the third, I think, is a guy that, you know, Carolina loves having around because he is a legacy guy. Definitely helps to have him as a depth guy. Good blocker, but still, I think, a work in progress in terms of being able to catch the football consistently. You saw that again, I thought, on Saturday. And then, you know, Ryan Ward, definitely still a guy that's going to take some time to mature, get his body right for the college level. And so this is a group that I think, you know, when they roll around into the fall and they're fully healthy, this will be one of the groups that you'll hear a lot of people talking about how it looks like one of the best on the field. Now we move to the offensive line. And this was the group that may have surprised everybody the most in terms of how good they looked. And look, you're going up against your own guys. You always take it with a grain of salt because we've been here before. We've had spring games where the offensive line has looked really good. We've had spring games where the defensive line has looked really good. And then when you get in season, it turns out that that doesn't actually translate onto the field. I thought the offensive line, for the most part, really dominated, especially that first team unit. I thought those guys were fantastic. One guy that I thought played outstanding the entire day was Howard Sampson. I thought he was really, really good. And it's exactly what you were hoping to see from him. We have heard Mack Brown rave about the type of step he has taken from coming in from North Texas. And this looks like a guy that I think can handle playing at the ACC level. I was a little skeptical. I really was. I thought, you know, this is a guy that, honestly, coming from the group of five level, having not played a whole lot, this is going to be a work in progress, and they probably have to have somebody else that can start for them. I think this guy is more than capable of starting. And, you know, hopefully that translates into the fall. I'll be interested to see, especially once Kamen Rucker gets back out there, what some of the reports are about how he looks. But this is a guy that has the size. There's no doubt about that. Does a good job in run blocking and did a really good job in pass protection on Saturday. And I think he is more than worthy of being the starting left tackle for Carolina if that continues to translate into the fall. Austin Blaske in the middle, I thought he looked really good alongside Willie Lampkin. Both of those guys, very, very solid, as you would expect. That was something that we wanted to see from Blaske, considering that he was a guy that was, you know, is going to be a first-time starter. He battled hard at Georgia, but was never able to win one of those starting jobs. I think he's showing, and from what we've heard from Mack Brown, he's looked the part already here in the spring. And this is a guy that the staff feels really comfortable putting the offensive line in his hands and letting him sort of set things up and control things. But he'll also have a good leader beside him in Willie Lampkin to help him. Thought Trevion Green looked pretty good as well. The biggest thing is that none of these guys, it really stuck out to me that they were struggling. I thought all these guys looked really, really good throughout the day, especially run blocking wise. I thought they did a really good job. But the thing that was most interesting for this group was, just like in the all access practice, the first guy at left guard was Malik McGowan with that first unit. And he was with the ones for a pretty decent amount of the day. So I know that Mack Brown said it's Jonathan Adorno, it's him and Zach Rice all battling, but Zach Rice, Jonathan Adorno were guys that spent most of their time with that second unit. I think Malik McGowan, as we exit spring practice, I think he's your guy right now at left guard. And Zach Greenberg is going to come in. He's a guy that comes from the D3 ranks. This staff is very, very excited about him. But I think he's going to have to beat out Malik McGowan, who I think is really starting to find it here at Carolina. It took him a little bit of time, but I think, especially if this is a run-heavy system, if you know anything about the system that McGowan came from in high school at Charlotte Catholic, it was almost exclusively run. A lot of wing T offense. They really focused, even, you know, in his later years, they started to, you know, try to get out of that a little bit and throw the ball a little bit more, but it was incredibly run heavy his entire time there. And so this is an offense, I think, this year that sets up really well for him to do what he does best. And I also think that he's taken a leap as a pass protector. weren't many moments that you really looked and said, man, the interior of that defensive line, of that offensive line, is getting beat up by the interior of that defensive line. And so I really think he's a solid player that I think as we go into the fall, it'll be interesting to monitor if he's able to hold on to that spot. Now, in terms of the depth, Carolina did throw a couple of freshmen out there throughout the day in that second unit, and even that third unit got a pretty decent amount of run. I thought the drop-off was solid, but I think it was better than it's been in the past. It was noticeable that the second unit was on. There's no doubt about that, especially in pass pro. But I thought in run-blocking scenarios, the second unit held up pretty well. And that's encouraging. That's kind of what you want to see, because if you're able to have a group behind the starters, we've talked about for years how Mac Brown wants to have a true two deep, guys that they can trust, that they can rotate in across the board, backing up their starting offensive line. I don't know if they're going to get there again this year, but I do think that there is reasons to feel encouraged about, you know, where Carolina stands, especially on the interior of that offensive line. I think you can be encouraged about where those guys are at. I think the tackles, that's probably a little bit more concerning. You really need Howard Sampson and Trevion Green for right now to stay healthy, but it will help that you are going to have Ja'Kiah Leftwich, the transfer from Georgia Tech, who will be a part of that second unit when he joins the team in the fall and will hope to battle for a starting job, probably with Trevion Green at right tackle. But I still think that this is a group that when you look at it, and especially with the guys that they're bringing in here in the fall, two guys that I think the staff feels like can contribute, Carolina's got their best shot at having eight guys along the offensive line that they can trust, maybe even nine. And that's something we have not seen at Carolina in a long, long time. And it's the recipe to success. Yes, you want to have a really strong starting five and guys that you can rely on. But at times, you're going to have to start rotating some of these guys out just to sort of keep these guys fresh as the season rolls along. Because one of the biggest issues that Carolina has had down the stretch of the last few years is, yes, I do think that there are some issues with the talent along the offensive line. I think that's still an area that Carolina needs to improve. But I also think that a big part of the reason why they struggle late in the last two seasons to protect their quarterback was that they simply just got worn down. So this is a group that you're hoping is going to be able to provide more depth. And what I saw on Saturday has me feeling pretty encouraged that they will have a better chance to do that than they have in the last couple of years. The last thing that we will talk about from the spring game was the special teams. And there was only one unit that we saw. And the only reason that I'm bringing this up is because Carolina missed two kicks in this scrimmage on Saturday. And Noah Burnett missed, pretty bad miss. Since it wasn't televised, can't go back and watch it. I was sitting, you know, at an angle that didn't really give me the greatest look at how exactly the snap and the hold went. Definitely not a great sign to see him miss. You're hoping that he can stay in the rhythm that he was in at the end of last year. And look, nothing, I mean, this is not something to be panicked over, but he misses one, and then Liam Boyd also misses one. I think this is something that you're going to have to watch. I'd like to, you know, hear more about the place kicking from Mac Brown as we go along, because the thing is that Carolina's got a new holder this year. They are going to have, I believe, a new snapper as well on field goals. I think Garrett Jordan is going to be the guy that's going to be taking over in there. So there are some new pieces around the place kicker that will be in place. And so Carolina's got to find guys that can, you know, handle doing this stuff on game days. And hopefully Noah Burnett can stay in that rhythm that he was in, because that was huge last year to have a guy that you could rely on, kicking the ball. Everything else we did not see. We didn't see kickoffs. We didn't see any of the returns. I did notice That punt returns, they did have a couple of guys going through that. Vori Green was a guy that was getting some run back there. A lot of freshmen, Jaden Patterson. You had Jalen Thompson, another true freshman that was getting some looks back there. So this is going to be, you know, a spot where Carolina is probably, with the returners, they're probably going to go young. They're going to use guys that are not starters because they don't want to risk any injuries to those guys. And it will also give some of those guys a little bit of experience of just getting on the college field. So it'll be interesting to monitor those moving forward, especially, you know, if Mac Brown does provide us updates, who are the guys that are getting the most reps at punt returner, at kick returner? That, you know, look, you do have Elijah Huzzy, who did some punt returning for you last year. Kick returning wise, you don't have anybody. So it's pretty wide open, and it'll be really something to watch as you go into fall camp, especially with how much Mac Brown has talked about improving this special teams unit across the board around what was a really, really good place kicking unit a year ago. All right, guys. Well, that wraps up our look at the special or at the spring game. We'll give you a quick word from our partner Autograph. And then when we come back, I'll talk to you about the addition that Carolina made in the transfer portal to their defensive line earlier today.
Hey there, Josh here for the Autograph Fandom app. Want to get rewarded for listening to our show? The team at Autograph, co-founded by Tom Brady, is redefining the fan experience by letting users earn points for the acts of fandom they take every day, like listening to this show. The Autograph Fandom app gives you access to your favorite UNC content in one place and offers rewards like tickets, exclusive merchandise, and much more. You're already listening to our show, but now you can earn points and get rewarded for it. Head over to the Apple App Store and search for Autograph Fandom Rewarded and download it today for free using the referral code HEELTUFF. Link and code are also in our podcast description.
All right, we'll stop him there. He got one run. I forgot to take the loop off of the ad right there. But make sure you head over to Autograph. I think that's the thing. We're really wanting you to head over there. Use that promo code, sign up. And get in on all of the latest Tar Heel news all in one place. And one of the big things on the app today was Carolina landing a transfer addition in the portal along their defensive front. Joshua Harris, a guy that probably sounds familiar to a lot of Tar Heel fans if you follow recruiting. This is a guy that went to an in-state high school, comes from Roxborough, North Carolina. Was a guy that was a four-star prospect at a high school. Carolina recruited him heavily, but he ended up going to NC State. He played 4 years there, became a pretty consistent rotational piece along that defensive front before entering the transfer portal and heading to Ole Miss last year. He was a guy that, you know, as the year progressed at Ole Miss, though, started to lose reps, played just 7 snaps in his final 2 games there. And so that's the reason why he entered the portal again. And now he's coming to Carolina and is going to be a guy that can provide a little bit of experience and be a rotational piece for Carolina there as well. Now, the thing is that he, as I said, he is a rotational piece. He is not a guy that it should be looked at as a guy that will come in and start for Carolina. The hope is that you can get a guy like Travis Shaw up to speed. It is worth noting as well, didn't really talk a whole lot about it when we were recapping, but Travis Shaw, something we're going to have to monitor here over the next few weeks, and especially once the team returns in the fall, is, you know, looked like he had some sort of shoulder ailment, went down on one play, went back to the sidelines, and was actually kneeled down on the ground with his head against the turf. Eventually stood up, tried to go back into the game, and had to come out after one play holding that right arm again. So that'll be something that'll be worth monitoring for him, and that would really stink. A guy that has been through so much already in his time, just transitioning from high school when he suffered a shoulder injury that then led him to not be on the field, not do the things that he needed to do to stay in shape. He's worked so hard to get in shape, and if he was to have to go through something like that again, It would really hurt Carolina. And that's a big part of why getting a guy like Josh Harris in there is going to be huge for this team. You get an experienced guy, a guy that's played in 42 games, a guy that, you know, has made an impact in some capacity just about everywhere that he's been. And the thing is that he does eat up reps in games. He plays, you know, typically, and when he's been at his best, he's a guy that's averaged probably anywhere from 18 to 20 snaps per game. And if he can give that to Carolina, I think that would be huge. It would allow, you know, for other guys to continue to play the roles that they're playing, but it would also take the pressure off of them because they would have a guy that can come in there and push them and help them when they need a breath on the sidelines. He's a guy that fills that nose tackle role as well. You know, around 6'4", 325 pounds. So a big dude that fits right in the middle of that Tar Heel defense. And so I think this is a really, really solid addition for Carolina that, you know, will help them. You know, they've needed to get some depth there at that defensive tackle spot because, I mean, look, I thought Rodney Laura looked really good, and maybe he's a guy that can take a step forward. But again, I think that you saw there was a decent drop-off, even from, you know, a group that I didn't think was great up front from the main guys like Ritzy, Hester, and Shaw. There's a drop-off from those guys back to guys like Starlings, even, you know, to a certain extent, Laura, until he can show it more consistently against the starters. I think that there is, you know, still reasons to question that depth there. And so getting a guy like him in there that has the experience, that can help you, especially in the run game, I think that's going to help Carolina and should go a long way for this roster. And now it really fills out that defensive line room. I think, you know, Carolina's pretty set on the edges. I think they've got enough bodies in there. They've got some pretty decent experience. You know, unless somebody really wasn't able to step up at that edge rusher spot, I don't think Carolina is going to go into the transfer portal there. I think what we saw from Malachi Hamrick, that shows you that there are some guys that are progressing along in that room. So I think they'll be fine. And then on the interior of the unit, bringing him in, I think that really solidifies this group moving forward. And so I think now Carolina's attention in the portal turns to getting another quarterback, as Mac Brown said. I do think that's still pretty interesting that they do want to add another guy. I think they've got three really strong guys. I know we saw a little bit of DJ Mazzoni, and there's a clear drop-off from, you know, even Michael Mertinger to him. But I do think that that room is still in really good shape. But I do think the main focus now becomes running back. Adding somebody there, taking the pressure off of the three guys that are in that room right now to stay healthy because the other two guys cannot. And so I definitely think for Carolina – you know, they probably will add a running back. Don't know if they'll end up getting that quarterback, and then that'll probably be it for them in the transfer portal. And I think Tar Heel fans should be pretty happy with where the roster stands when it comes to the group that Carolina is putting out there. So that's going to wrap it up for this edition of the podcast. You guys may be wondering, there were three commitments for Carolina in the 2025 class, separate edition of the podcast to break down all of those guys coming up here for you. That'll be on the horizon. I expect, you know, as of right now, it will be tomorrow night, but if there is some news on the basketball side of things, that will of course take precedent, especially if it is something on RJ Davis's future or if it is Carolina landing Cade Tyson. So we're going to be keeping an eye out for all of that stuff. And if not, then we will roll with that podcast edition where we will break down the commitments, a four-star edge rusher, Austin Alexander, three-star defensive tackle, Devin Ankrum, as well as unranked linebacker, Anthony Crua. And so a ton of great stuff coming up on that 2025 class and those guys that Carolina landed. Three straight days Carolina has landed a commitment, and still some guys that were on campus this weekend that Carolina's in really, really good standing with, that, you know, a couple of the current commits are pushing to try to get committed to this class. So it might not be done just yet. We'll have to keep an eye on that. And if there is any news, you can check it out. HeelToughBlog.com. That's your place to find all of the stuff we just talked about. Spring game recap, my takeaways from what I saw out there. So go ahead, check that out. If you guys did not get a chance to go out to the game, the crowd decent, but definitely I think could have been a little bit better, especially with the fact that the game was not televised. So I know a lot of you guys didn't see the game. Make sure that you guys go and read those takeaways. Also, the breakdown of Joshua Harris, go a little more in depth on what his career was like at both Ole Miss and NC State, and also tell you a little bit more how I think he fits at Carolina. And then the commitment articles of all three of those guys that I just laid out for you right there. Make sure you go and read up on all of those guys so that you are locked in when we do the podcast tomorrow night or sometime later on this week on those three pickups for Carolina. Meanwhile, on the basketball side of things, a ton of stuff going on. Kate Tyson just wrapped up his official visit to campus. We'll be monitoring that to see if Carolina does end up getting a commitment from him here after that seems to be it. You know, he took his visit to Tennessee, just finished this one with Carolina. So now it should be decision time for him. Meanwhile, ton of other stuff going on. Carolina's missed out on three big men already in the transfer portal. One is trending towards a different school as well. So we've got you covered on all of that and any of the other happenings for Carolina, including Harrison Ingram going to the NBA. All of that stuff will be on the website for you guys. Any of the latest basketball, football news, we encourage you every day, head over to HeelToughBlog.com and check it out. Also, if you're a listener to the podcast, make sure you subscribe to both podcasts. Wherever you listen to your podcast, just search the Heel Tough Blog Podcast and the Four Corners Podcast and hit that subscribe button. We would greatly appreciate it. So that once again wraps up this edition of the Heel Tough Blog Podcast. Want to thank all of you guys for watching and listening. And as always, go Tar Heels!